San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 22, 2025. Today's lesson, All That I Have, I Give, is delivered by Reverend Mark Obkamp.
So good morning. Before I begin this morning's lesson, let us anchor ourselves in the truth that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call that one power God, the living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And we anchor ourselves in this truth each week because, frankly, without the creative power of the universe, not one of us would be here. It has created all that is, including each of its individual beings in its own image, in the image of love and light. And of course, all the creative power of the heavens and stars. We have that power, that presence within us. How great is that? And without these gifts, such as the air that we breathe and every heartbeat that moves the blood through this earth suit that we have been given to carry our souls around in, we could not exist. And of course, our feelings, our connection to the one mind, and the gifts of thought, free will, and volition. And I want to say something about the one mind here, because the one mind is definitely in action this morning. I'd like to thank Dr. Connie for your introduction and for your meditation. And we'll be hearing much of what was in that meditation in today's talk. So of all of these, we were simply given them. These gifts were just given to us. We never needed to ask for anything or put out there that we wanted it. They were given. Yes, God is good indeed. So the title of today's lesson came to me in a flash. I mean literally a flash. When Dr. Connie asked me what I wanted to speak on in my next breath, the title, All That I Have, I Give, came right to me. Now, what I didn't realize when this came to me was when I had the title, I had an exact idea of what I was going to do. And the universe told me, no, that's not it. And so I kind of said, okay, fine. We'll see what direction this takes. And to be honest, I had that idea going. But I stand here in front of you today and state, thank you, universe. Thank you, universal intelligence. I listened. So in the Holy Bible, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, we are told that for God so loved the world, he gave. And this is where today's lesson really begins. God, or as I like to refer to it or think of it, universal intelligence, gave us its creation, all of creation. And it is ours, simply for the asking. So in this year of learning about simple abundance, excuse me, let me ask you this question. If it's that simple, why aren't we all billionaires? Well, it is my belief that the gifts of the kingdom go far beyond monetary or material things. Ernest Holmes, founder of Centers for Spiritual Living, formerly Science of Mind, an author of the Science of Mind textbook, had this to say on page 50, paragraph 2 of the textbook. We are surrounded by and immersed in an infinite good. How much of this infinite good is ours? All of it. And how much of it may we have to use? As much of it as we can embody. In other words, We can have, achieve, or create as much as we believe we can. It is not so much about what has been created as it is in what we believe we are capable of manifesting and what we open ourselves to receive, also known as accept. And so now we get to look at not only giving, but also receiving as a gift. For most of our lives, we have been told that it is better to give than to receive. And this may be partially true. However, in the sacred scripture, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, we are told to remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this goes pretty much for everything in life. And it doesn't always have to be a monetary gift. From James chapter 1, verse 17, we are told that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadow. I think we all know some of those shifting shadows in our light, but that's another talk. So has anyone figured out where I am going with this yet? Well, let me give you a clue. So in all honesty, the simple truth is this: no matter what it is, the gift is always given from spirit first. Yes, as a divine being having a human experience, we can co-create what we desire. But since there is only one mind, and each of us helps to contribute to its creation, everything that is and everything that we are going to give has already been given in the mind of God. So as we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And do you know why that is? God does not determine our lack or shortcomings. We are the sole creators of these things. We must always remember that the universe is always going to say yes to what we believe. So if we believe there's not enough because of our stinking thinking, there is never going to be enough. Until we change our thought process and or our belief system. In the Science of Mind textbook, on pages 460 and 461, Ernest Holmes tells us that God is love and God is law. The love of God is omnipresent and the law of God is omnipresent. The love of God is the divine givingness, the external outpouring of spirit through its creation. In other words, spirit is creating through us. We are its creation and it can only create through its creation. The law of God is the law of cause and effect, which says that we can have only what we take. Since this taking is a mental and spiritual as well as physical act, we can take only that to which we are receptive. Jesus taught that it is done to us as we believe. And on page 445 and 446 of the textbook, we are also told, we need spiritual experience. We shall never know peace until we embody it. We shall never know truth until we become truth. And we cannot know God unless we sense Him within our own being. The Spirit is ever giving, but we must take. What life does for us must be done through us. Spiritual experience is deep, calm, and self-assertive. It is the result of actually realizing that presence which binds all together in one complete whole. And you know what that complete whole is? It's right here. It's right there. It's right in this room. The experience comes in the stillness of the soul. When the outer voice is quiet, when the tempest of human strife is abated, it is a quickening of the inner man to an eternal reality. So that reality, that presence, that being, that who we are, is always with us. It never leaves us. I believe Holmes is saying here that, yes, God is all there is, and that it is always creating for our highest good. But, as part of the whole, the complete one, we also need to be aware of its existence within us. So remember what I said earlier about giving and receiving both being gifts? Let's think about that for a moment. I believe that that has to do with the law of circulation, as well as the law of cause and effect. Of course, we should give from a space of gratitude and a joyful heart, but we also need to be willing to receive the wonderful gifts of this life as they are given. Sometimes they come as simply as a gift in our hands, and at other times, it may be within a lesson learned, or a far deeper awareness than what we woke up with this morning. I think that we have all perhaps either had a time or circumstance where we have seen God in action. Maybe we were stuck in traffic and running a little late and complaining to ourselves, if only I had been 10 minutes earlier, only to further up the road see that there had been an unpleasant incident that we immediately know within ourselves. If I had been earlier by 10 or 15 minutes, that might have been me. And have any of you either missed a flight or known someone that has missed a flight and for whatever reason come to an understanding of why that particular flight was simply not the one that we or they were meant to be on? I was thinking very much of 9/11 when this came to me and the stories we heard of people that should have been on those planes and were not. God in action. It wasn't their time yet. The gifts of the kingdom are endless, and as we fine-tune ourselves to be receptive to them and recognize them more freely, they begin coming to us more and more readily. Yes, the universe does recognize the cheerful giver, and what is being given can take so many forms, and our job is simply to allow ourselves to be part of its flow. The flow that we are creating that moves with the current and not against it. Remember, spirit can only do for us what we allow it to do through us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, we are told to remember the Lord, your God, for it is he who gives to the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. The timeliness of spirit never changes. The gifts have already been given. We are just open to receive. And the more we open, the more we receive. We are told, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. This is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 19 and 21. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. In other words, we don't have to go outside to go to heaven or hell. That's created right within our hearts. It's with us all the time. And we have the choice to decide what we're creating. So I think this passage is telling us that our true treasure lies within our heart space. That true riches are not what they may appear to be. Our true riches are the love by which we have been created, and that we are not supposed to hide that love or keep it to ourselves, but instead we are to allow it to flow through us unconditionally and to give of ourselves freely. Now, I'm not standing up here saying that we are to give so much that we have nothing left for ourselves, or give so much of ourselves that we make ourselves sick or exhausted. But I am saying that as far as it goes to offer a kind word or a smile or a loving gesture, that we should give as freely as possible while still keeping within us a glad heart and a joyous demeanor. What is giving freely? Giving freely is just that smile, that word, that encouragement. And we have that within us to do every second of every day. Every single one of us can find the place of joy that resides within and share that peace, joy, knowledge, or whatever it be with others. So let me ask you all a question. And I have to admit that as I was putting this talk together, I asked myself the same question. And I'm still answering it. How many of us may have been living in the same place for many years and maybe look at our closets or our storage areas and say to ourselves, this space really could use a good sorting through and sorting out? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a reflection on that as well. In Luke chapter 3, verse 11, we are told that John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. We are simply being told here to practice the law of giving. If one has more than they need, it will not hurt at all to share it. Yasmin Morgahad told us, don't ever be afraid of giving. Give of your time, your forgiveness, your understanding, your love. Give of your money. Give to the creation and you'll be given by the Creator. Be generous and the most generous will be generous with you. This is simply the law of circulation and action. And if you take nothing else away from the lesson today, I want you to hold these words very close to your heart. So, I'm going to repeat them for you. Don't ever be afraid of giving. Give. Give of your time, your forgiveness, your understanding, your love. Give of your money. Give to the creation and you'll be given by the Creator. Be generous and the most generous will be generous with you. There are a couple of very important statements made within this paragraph. It tells us to give of our forgiveness and our understanding. Well, I'm going to tell you something right here and now. One of the most difficult things that I have ever had to give in this lifetime was my forgiveness in a couple of very painful situations. I was just not willing to let them go. And the weight of them was like carrying a boulder between my shoulder blades. For over 40 years, I carried these large rocks with me everywhere I would go. And you know what? Carrying that burden for all that time never served me well. To make a long story short, one day I gave myself a very important gift. Oh yes, as we are giving to others, we can give to ourselves as well. One of my favorite gifts to myself is chocolate. But never mind. Anyway, one day I decided to free myself of the weight on my shoulders, forgiving the situation and persons involved with what I had thought caused me that pain for many years. And within that process, I realized the pain and frustration that they had gone through, perhaps carrying their own burdens, and doing the best that they could do at that particular time. and under those circumstances. And as I began to forgive them for what I considered to be their wrongs, I began to realize that my biggest mistake had been holding on to that hurt for so long. They had left this earthly plane many years before, and the only pain that was being caused at that point was the pain that I had been inflicting upon myself for all those years. And so then I realized that I could forgive all of it, not necessarily forget it, but at least leave it in the past where it belonged, and then free up all that congested space for a space of clarity and, on my part, love. And as soon as I did that, my truth became clear, and I realized that, as Eric Thomas said, every single day has to be excellent. You got to give it all you got. Well, at least all you have to give in that moment. And some days, it is easier to give a little more than others. After all, we are divine beings having a human experience, and some days, we may feel a little more human than divine. And Cheryl Strayed said that you have to be kind. You have to give it all you've got. You have to find people who love you truly and love them back with the same truth. But that's all. And remember that as you are giving that love to others, put some aside for yourself. You cannot be expected to give of yourself if you are not nurturing and taking care of the most precious commodity you possess. Y-O-U-R-S-E-L-F. Yourself. Norman Vincent Peale made a great suggestion a few years ago. He told us to fill the day with enthusiasm. Give the day all you've got, and it will give you all it's got, which will be plenty. And within the same idea, Shirley Horn tells us that I have learned that all you give is all you get. So give it all you got. So I'm sure that by now you have received the point that I've been trying to make this morning. That the true gifts are the gifts that have been given by the universe for us to accept, receive, use, and share. Also, that the law of circulation works very specifically. That what we are giving, we will be given or receive in return. If we give love, we will be loved. If we are kind, kindness will be returned to us in many ways. If we receive gifts graciously, we can give them as well. If we are forgiving, we will surely be forgiven. And if we are generally a good person, we will attract that goodness back into our lives. Cahil Gibran once wrote that you give little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. We live in a giving universe, but we also have to be open and receptive to all of the good that is being given to us. And then we must share it with our brothers and sisters. For the gifts are being given equally to everyone. In the Science of Mind textbook, on page 81, paragraph 5, Ernest Holmes tells us that the spirit is self-propelling. It is absolute and all. It is self-existent and has all life within itself. It is the Word, and the Word is volition. It has choice because it is volition. It is will because it chooses. It is free spirit because it knows nothing outside itself and therefore nothing different from itself. And so, yes, we have the will and we have choice. But one thing that we must understand is that the choices we make and the actions that we take are going to be returned to us tenfold. Ernest Holmes also said in the Science of Mind textbook, on page 100, paragraph 2, that we have learned that spirit is the absolute being, that it is the only thing in the universe which has self-knowingness, volition, choice, or will. The soul is the servant of the spirit and has no choice and no purpose other than to execute the purpose given it. The soul of the universe must obey the will of spirit. The body of the universe cannot help changing. This is what constitutes the external activity of spirit within itself. The spirit passing into form. Spirit, form, manifestation. And the creation externally going on. Since spirit must be manifest in order to be conscious, there must be a way in which it manifests, and there must be a manifestation. So we have soul and body, the manifestation, and the soul, the way or law by which it manifests. So it's just a creative process. Think of it just, you know, right through the funnel, and there it is. It's been created. So there you have it. We are one of the manifestations of spirit, and we have been given the powers of free will, volition, and choice. We choose to create, and knowing that we have the power of the universe within us, through us, and as us, we decide what we create. But we must also remember that we are all parts of the whole, adding to the whole. What of the gifts that we are given on a daily basis do we choose to share today? Are we sending out peace, love, harmony, forgiveness, caring, the good of God? Or are we choosing negative or harmful thoughts, imbalance, anger, hate, or harmful vibes? So over the last few days, there have been some things in the news that some people may be really happy about and other people may be uncomfortable about. What I know in my heart is that no matter what is going on in the world and where it's going on, that there is God in everything. And if there is God in everything, then there is also good in everything. We don't have to understand what that good is right now, but we just have to know that it's there. Things on this planet right now may not appear to be what we would like them to be. And for a lot of us, that would be a great reason to give up or to not put our time or talents into positive endeavors. For those of you, I give these last couple of quotes. Harriet Beecher Stowe told us to never give up, for that is just the time and place that the tide will turn. The future of this planet is being created today, and there is so much good out there just for the taking. Now, I know that on some days we may not feel as though we are putting our best foot forward, and yet when I am feeling down or less than optimistic, I pick myself up and think of the words of Mae West, who said, "If you put your foot in it, be sure it's your best foot." Now more than ever is the time for us to share with each other. And the great thing here is, the deeper truth is, that the gifts are already all there for the taking. It may be as simple as a smile, a kind word, a word of encouragement, reaching out to someone in need, or a pat on the back to someone who has created lack or loss in their lives. All over, one can see stories of the good around them. Hold on to the stories of good. Those are the important ones. Let us open ourselves to the good the universe has poured forth, and let us share in any way that we can. I thank you for your time and attention this morning. Namaste.